show, Randy.
Hello, Willie. Yes. Isn't it funny? We're in, we're in different places, yet I'm in the place you're usually, which is...
That's right.
Your home.
Yeah.
And you're up in Queensland.
I am.
About 1,000 miles away. But you know what?
What?
It just sounds like we're in the same room.
Through the miracle of technology.
And the telephone and...
the telephone.
All that.
Yeah, I know. It's great.
Yeah, we're there. People love us. They think we're there. Except for the guy that complained about the opening.
Oh, by the way, I want to thank... we got some mail today. We got another sponsor.
Really?
And yes, we did.
Another cappuccino a month.
Another cappuccino a month. But listen. I think it's... I've got to get their names in front of me, and it's terrible because it's on the other
side.
It's
okay. They know who they are.
But you know who you are.
There's only a few of them.
You sent us a little... Yeah, that's right. You sent us a little note with really constructive stuff about the show, as well as the fact that you listen, both you and your wife. Listen, guys, I want to thank you very much for listening, and we have taken that under advisement, and we are going to take some of your suggestions. Because we listen.
Oh, now I'm worried because I haven't read this.
Yeah, well, no, I told you to.
What are you? What are you? What are you putting? What are you promising for me?
Don't worry.
are you okay? Promising? What are you promising on my behalf?
Nothing. Don't worry about it.
Yes, courage, Camille. I have consumption.
Don't worry about it. So hey, listen, we're all here. We're all still present here at the world. The world hasn't blown up yet.
Well, it's on. Well, yes. Well, no.
Have you been listening
North Korea is sort of doing their kind of like swaggering. I guess you could call it that.
Yeah.
like that clown you used to punch when you were a kid, and he had sand in the bottom.
Yeah, Pugsley's been at it.
North Korea Pugsley. Yeah.
This is my personal opinion, okay?
And
this is what we do on our podcast. We give our personal opinions, and people can like them or not. My personal opinion is that this is distraction. There is a possibility that he may blow up the world because, of course, as we've described, Trump is nuts. But
well, he is insane, yes.
But this is don't pay any attention to the man behind the curtain.
No.
Trust me. This is all to distract from what's been going on and the normalization of Trump and the absolutely huge cover-up that's taking place right now in Washington.
Which one? Get in line.
Oh, the cover-up of Trump's contacts with Russia and the foot-dragging with the Senate Investigative Committee. I can't find that on any news site. You're not going to find it on MSNBC. CNN aren't covering. Everybody's looking at North Korea. And in the meanwhile, the Trump White House is withholding information from the Senate Investigative Committee that's looking into the Russian connections, and more stuff has come out, which brings us to our first installment. This is the one I handle.
Hey, that was
a
segue. I like it.
Yeah,
I like
did
it.
You like
yeah,
that?
Very good, very good.
This is basically, we want you to keep your eye on the ball, folks.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that North Korea won't be
there. This is like Monty Python. You got to watch all the cards.
That's right.
Watch all the shells. Watch all the shells and the peas.
Watch the ball, folks.
Because
the cover-up is well and truly started. Here's our Trump intro to go into another week of Trump.
This is a song about being happy. That's right. It's the happy, happy, joy, joy song.
This means that Donald Trump will be the 45th President of the United States. Donald Trump, President of the United States. Donald Trump, President of the United States. Donald Trump, Donald Trump, President of the United States.
Let's say China. China,
China, China,
China,
China,
China,
China,
China, China.
Now it's time for the next episode of Donald Trump, American President.
China, 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 China,
China. Yes, Randy, it's another week of Donald Trump and keeping our eye on the ball, ladies and gentlemen.
Keeping our eye on the clock, and it hasn't stopped yet.
It hasn't stopped yet, though we have gone evidently 30 30 seconds closer to nuclear midnight, according to these concerned scientists that keep on doing it. Listen, what has happened while everybody's attention has been, look over there, look at Korea. Yeah. Look what's
don't
happening
look at,
there.
Don't look at Donald, yeah.
Don't look at Donald. Don't look at Donald. The New York Times came out with a rather interesting report that appeared on Rachel Maddow just last night.
Oh, dear Rachel, dear Rachel.
Oh, yeah, I'm liking Rachel because she's keeping her eye on the ball.
I'd go gay for her.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sorry.
Kushner, Jared Kushner, as you know, is the guy who's actually
Kushner,
the guy in charge of everything. He's in charge of everything. The Kushner Companies, the family's real estate firm, would spend about $190 million over the next few months for a dozen apartment buildings. Now, this were apartment buildings that they bought in lower Manhattan neighborhoods, including the East Village, the West Village, and Soho.
Yeah.
But what we're finding out about it is that Jared, who's now in charge of most everything at the White House, in the family business that is the Trump organization,
and the Coca-Cola Amatil dispenser in the Oval Office.
Yeah. Yeah. He does everything. He repairs the Coke machines. He scores the Coke for Debbie.
Oh, stop
for Conway.
It. He doesn't do those kind of lines. The bubbles hurt his nose.
Conway's starting to look like an old Coke addict. Have you noticed? She's starting to look a little bit like Sharon Stone in the last reel of Casino. She's just starting to look like that. But never mind.
I love there's a picture of her coming up and whispering in Donald's ear, I need some more meth. Yeah. I need some more meth.
More meth. I need more meth. Okay. Anyway, his family's real estate firm spent about $190 million for apartments in the East Village, West Village, and Soho. For much of the roughly $50 million in down payments, Mr. Kushner turned to an undisclosed overseas partner. Public records, according to the New York Times, public records and shell companies shield the investor's identity. But it turns out the money came from a member of Israel's Steinmetz family.
Of course.
Which built a fortune as one of the world's leading diamond traders. A Kushner company spokesman and several Steinmetz representatives says that Raz Steinmetz, 53, was behind the deals. His uncle, and the family's most prominent figure, is the billionaire Benny Steinmetz.
Oh, Benny, yeah.
Who is?
He's a bench on a bench on 44th Street, yeah.
Yeah, he deals meth down on 44th Street.
No, diamonds,
Conway. Yeah. The family's most prominent figure, billionaire Benny Steinmetz, who is under scrutiny by law enforcement authorities in four countries. This is where Jared's getting his down payment money. In the United States, federal prosecutors are investigating whether representatives of his firm bribed government officials in Guyana.
The one in South America or the one in Africa?
G-U-A-I-N-E-A. Is that Guinea?
Well, there's French Guyana in northern South America.
I think it's French Guyana.
Yeah, okay. And then there's some in Africa as well, Guinea-Bissau.
The thing was is that the firm bribed government officials in Guyana to secure a multi-billion-dollar mining concession. In Israel, Mr. Steinmetz was detained in December and questioned in a bribery money laundering investigation.
Oh, I'm in the laundry business. I'm in the laundry business. You can't. That's not illegal. It's not illegal to have a laundry.
Prosecutors have conducted similar inquiries. Now, basically, if Jared, the guy generally in charge of everything at the White House, has done business
with someone convicted of bribery,
if they've done business with somebody who's done bribery, that's a federal crime.
Yeah. Oh, add it to the list, Bill. Add it to the list.
Oh, yeah. But there's more. Yeah. But there's
Steak
more
knives,
that came
yeah.
out this 2 weeks. Yeah. According to the Telegraph, a former MI6 chief has accused President Donald Trump of everything we've said on this show, of borrowing Russian money at the height of the financial crash to keep his businesses afloat when other Western powers would not lend to him. The accusation was made by Sir Richard Dearlove, head of the Secret Intelligence Service.
MI6.
Yeah. Yeah. between 1999 and 2004 as questions continue to swirl about Trump's previous business dealings with Russia. It also comes at a time when relations between the two superpowers reached a new low. I don't think so. By
how
the way,
much lower can you
I
go?
I don't think so.
How low can you go?
No.
They're all limbo dancers as it is.
This is all bullshit. Because basically, I'm just thinking, this is all bullshit. Speaking yesterday, Trump said the U.S. is not getting along with Russia at all. Well, that's what he wants everybody to think. The rhetoric was in stark contrast to his election campaign when he boasted how he would get along very well with Putin. Because Putin described him as very talented. As the Trump bromance with Putin deteriorated, Sir Richard, who oversaw MI6 when he went... when the dodgy dossier was released, warned any shady business any shady business deals done in 2008 would come to haunt the billionaire. He said what lingers for Trump may be what deals and in what terms he did after the financial crisis of 2008 to borrow money when others in the West apparently would not lend to him. My conjecture is, when things go south for Trump with the Russians, you're going to see a lot of stuff appear about his early dealings with the Russians, and most of it criminal.
Yeah.
I do not think that relations are actually on the tip of any problem with Russia. If they wanted to put Trump in prison right now with what they have on him, I think they would.
Would they?
Now, this is my conjecture. I'm not sure, but I think that I'm right.
Okay.
Your take,
Randy. Well, I mean, the dossier, I mean, everybody loved to read it, but it would probably just be so far-fetched that nobody would believe it. Just this week, on the 21st of April... a young lady, her name is Ivana Kamensky, claims that she was one of the prostitutes who had sexual intercourse.
That's been disproven. Yes. Oh. Yeah, it has been. Sorry. I checked that out.
How his penis is no bigger than a grape.
Yeah, but you may love it, and I love it too, but I don't think it was true.
She's so cute.
Oh, yeah, calm down. This other thing came up as well from Politico
A fake news site. Politico?
No, yeah, that's clear. The Turkish man who gave Mike Flynn a $600,000 lobbying deal just before President Trump picked him to be national security advisor has business ties to Russia, including a 2009 aviation financing deal negotiated with Vladimir Putin.
An aviation financial deal? To buy airplanes.
The man, Ekim Alptekin.
You've got to work on these pronunciations before we go to Bill. You really do.
Has in recent years helped to coordinate Turkish lobbying in Washington with Dmitry David Zakin, a Soviet-born former executive in Russian energy and mining companies who also have dealings with the Putin government. According to three people with direct knowledge of the activities, this unusual arrangement... that they have helped steer Turkish lobbying through various groups since at least 2015, raising questions about both the agenda of the two men and the source of the funds used to pay the lobbyists. Could have those lobbyist funds, before Mike Flynn became national security advisor, could they have actually been funneled from Putin?
Maybe.
I'm just asking. It's just asking.
Well, if anybody knows lobbyists, it would be Trump. He's got a lot of lobbies, you know, the drapes and the paneling and stuff.
That's true. Well said. Now, this actually came in right afterwards, and this means that this is a connected story. Hello.
I'm here.
That was something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was me. This is a connected story that I found very
fascinating.
Did you
not fluffy off the leash or something?
No. After I read the story from Politico, this came through at Mother Jones.
Yeah.
The White House is refusing to provide congressional investigators with some of the documents they're requesting as part of the investigation into potential campaign connections to Russia and whether former National Security Advisor Mike Flynn disclosed payments from Russian companies.
Oh, for goodness, I'm the president. You cannot do. You cannot make me do anything because I'm the president.
Absolutely amazing. So the idea that this Turkish lobbying firm was getting huge amounts of money from Putin and funneling it over to Mike Flynn, which is conjecture. It's not proof, but it's conjecture.
Yes.
As soon as they start asking where Mikey's getting his money from, the White House is dragging its feet. Because now we're in the cover-up stage, folks.
Yeah,
this
you're
is the
too
cover-up
late.
Stage.
You're too late. We've shut that one down.
The news comes. The news comes as Representative Elijah Cummings, Democrat of Maryland, and Jason Chaffetz, Republican Utah, announced Tuesday that Flynn might have broken the law by failing to disclose the foreign payments on official documents filed as part of the security clearance review process. I see no data to support the notion that General Flynn complied with the law, Chaffetz said. By the way, Chaffetz is a Republican.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Isn't he resigning or something? He's not standing for re-election or something?
No, he's suddenly bowed out. I wonder why. Now, let's have a look at the GOP obstructing justice for the Senate Intelligence Committee. The Senate Intelligence Committee has not been properly staffed or equipped to conduct a proper investigation into Donald Trump's possible ties to Russia, meaning that an important investigation is going overlooked. 3 months ago, the committee came to an agreement on the scope of the investigation, but has not yet substantially investigated on possible connections between Trump campaign and Russia. Three sources tied to the committee told the Daily Beast this week.
Yeah.
The committee contains only seven staffers, and none of them are working on the probe full time. They're all part-time, and they have no prior investigative experience. The probe currently appears to be moving at a pace slower than prior Senate Intelligence Committee investigations, such as the CIA torture inquiry, which took years to accomplish.
Or Benghazi.
Oh, Benghazi got funding. No, that got funding.
It's still being
so
funded.
That's right. So far, prominent figures in Trump's orbit, such as Michael Flynn, Roger Stone, Carter Page, Paul Manafort, and Jared Kushner, have not even been interviewed by the committee. It's either a real investigation or not, an individual with knowledge of the committee's activities told the Daily Beast. You have to have an approved investigative guide. You have to make it formal. Can you have a credible investigation with only seven part-time staffers doing everything in secret?
Who don't even have an office.
No, of course not. This is a cover-up. We have the distraction. Now we have the cover-up. Remember, we're talking about this being a phony election and that the President of the United States' involvement in treason. We've talked about it before.
Yeah.
This is a cover-up, okay? So those things have reared their ugly head in the last 2 weeks. You have not heard about them. You have not known about them. The reason you have not known about them is because you're all looking over Korea.
Look over there.
Yes,
I know.
Listen, there was a new book that came out. Did you hear about the new book on the Hillary Clinton campaign?
Oh, yes. You mentioned it before the show. Am I meant to preempt it?
No. Okay. No. It's fantastic. The book is one of the first ones in which they've gone about, and they've talked to people in the campaign. Now, recently, in the last... the last couple of weeks, I've had little conversations with my friends on Facebook who are piling on Bernie Sanders for his endorsement of a Democratic politician. He was asked to go by the DNC over to Nebraska to campaign for a Democrat, a conservative Democrat, who has personal viewpoints against abortion.
Yeah, I read that.
Well. Perez asked the guy to go. Then the people inside the Democratic Party start piling on Bernie for being anti-choice, which of course is bullshit. There's an organized group of people from the Clinton campaign that are so vehemently angry with Bernie Sanders that their rationality has left them. And they're prepared again to smear Bernie Sanders. They actively fear the possibility of the Sanders wing of the Democratic Party coming in.
And well, now, since you've been away on a desert island, there is serious talk of the third party in the last four days.
That's a disaster. Yeah. That's a disaster. It really is a disaster. Mm-hmm. If there is a third party, that could be a disaster. If you divide people, that's not how you win. You know, I understand as a progressive myself that a third party would be emotionally satisfying. But I really don't think that, I think that the best thing we do is try to unify. And what do you think?
Well, I mean, third parties have happened before. I mean, the Republicans only appeared in the 1850s. You know, Teddy Roosevelt ran a third party. There are other parties. I mean, it doesn't have to be black and white. There can be shades. I think a third party may be called for. If it could get the numbers that Bernie had before the election into a third party, I think it would work. Mm.
I don't think a third party has ever won. A third party has never won. I mean, Teddy Roosevelt did a third party. John Anderson did a third party. Ross Perot did a third party. You know, what Ross Perot did to third party Republicans was brought in.
He killed Clinton. Yeah, no, I know that. What I'm saying is
because he divided the vote.
There was no Republicans before Stephen Douglas in 1856. Mm. He started the Republican Party and was elected. And what went out the door? The Whigs. Was it the Whigs or something?
Yeah.
But I mean, that was the Lincoln was only the second ever president elected by the Republican Party. The Democrats was the party of the South. People forget that. The Democrats was the party of the KKK and the Southern states.
Yep, that's true. That's true. Hey, listen, I'm going to talk a little bit now about the shattered book, because in that context of that division between the. Between the establishment DNC and the Bernie people.
Yeah.
Have a listen to this. And I'm going to read from the EW, which is Entertainment Weekly, mention on the things that were revealed in this book. Mm-hmm. We're months removed from Donald Trump's electoral upset over Hillary Clinton. Jonathan Allen and Amy Parnes have written Shattered Inside Hillary Clinton's Doomed Campaign. There are a couple of things that have been brought up as rather juicy bits from this, and this is basically interviews with people in the campaign. So here we go. Number one, Hillary's major failure. Although Shattered is filled with examples of bad decisions and mishandled crises, it posits the Clinton campaign's main failure was Hillary's inability to, wait for it, explain her motivation for seeking the presidency.
Well, apart from it's my
which
turn.
Which is other than it's my turn. Absolutely. Why do you want it? Now, we knew why Bernie wants it, because he's propelled by policy. Yeah. No one knew what, other than she was unable to kind of, I think, structure a compelling narrative as to why she wanted it other than it was her turn, you know? And that didn't get the people out to vote for her. Now get this. I mean, she did win by 3 million votes. But where she needed those votes in the Rust Belt, she didn't campaign, you know? And a lot of people, including Bernie people, sat on the fence. So that's something that you have to deal with going on. Allen and Parnes report that Clinton herself admitted during the campaign, and this is a quote, "I don't understand what's happening with the country. I can't get my arms around it." And I think that that's probably evident in the way the campaign was carried on.
Yeah.
Listen, here's the second one that they said. This is, I've entitled it, "Someone Else's Fault." And this gives you an idea why the Clinton people have a hard time playing nice with others inside the Democratic Party. How the 2008 primary led to Hillary's email scandal. Allen and Parnes reporting emphasizes that Hillary Clinton prizes loyalty above all else in her subordinates. So after her close primary defeat to Barack Obama in 2008, Clinton assigned two aides, get this, to assign loyalty scores to members of Congress based on whether or not they'd supported her in that primary. She also combed through her, She also combed through her campaign's email server to find out who leaked what to the media, Allen and Pons write. Apparently, the lesson she took from the experience was that she must protect her own emails from similar scrutiny. And as Secretary of State, she created a private email server that went on to plague her throughout the campaign, hampering her ability to build a ground game, exacerbating the impact of the other unrelated email scandals like DNC leaks, and deepening America's voters' already sizable distrust of the Clintons. Both Hillary and Bill blamed the campaign staff for failing to successfully bury the story. But Alan Parnes right, neither Clinton, Bill, or Hillary could accept the simple fact that Hillary had hamstrung her own campaign and had dealt the worst serious blow to her own presidential aspirations.
With the stupid email server.
With the email
server. And her own paranoia.
Well, you know something? I understand where it comes from, because during Bill's reign in as president, they were pilloried by the right. And they felt boxed into a corner. But I think the severe damage that those 8 years brought upon her is evident in the way she ended up, which is, I think, very vindictive toward anyone that wasn't totally 100% loyal to them. And you see this now with the treatment that Bernie Sanders and his wing of the campaign is getting from the Clinton people. Mm-hmm. But also, they talk a little bit about what would have been a really good choice for me, you know, and I said this during the campaign, you should have had Liz Warren on the ticket to get the left over to, you know, to...
Mike, what's his name?
You can't even remember his name, can you?
Wasn't Mike something?
There you go. I don't know.
The guy from New Jersey, wasn't he?
Yeah, you don't even remember his name. Mr. Vanilla, we'll call him. Clinton campaign chairman John Podesta first drew up a list of potential vice presidential nominees, dividing into seven categories: Latinos, females, senators, male senators, African Americans, high-ranking military officers, business leaders, and Bernie Sanders.
Was Bernie on that list?
Guess what shot Bernie Sanders had? None.
Was he on the list as Sanders a possible vice president?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, I know, just for laughs, because there was no way. Sanders was never really on the table after their brutal primary, but choosing Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts had the potential to excite Sanders voters and other Democratic voters who still harbored lingering doubts about Clinton.
It would have got me going.
Yeah, I voted for her anyway. But I'll tell you, to me, that was the smart move. So Clinton seriously considered Warren for the nomination until the last minute, but ultimately, according to Alan Parnes, Clinton wanted a governing partner because she was so sure she was going to win.
Yeah.
That was another thing. She was so sure. Someone who saw the world in a similar way could help her run the executive branch. She just didn't know if she could trust Warren to be pragmatic and constructive, i.e., shut up and not outshine her. Then there was Obama. Now, this is interesting. I never picked this up on this. Then there was Obama, who saw Clinton as the heir to his legacy and resented Warren.
Why?
For what he saw as demagoguing against him on economic issues and for wreaking havoc when he nominated banker Antonio Weiss as an undersecretary at the Treasury Department. You know what? That's kind of stupid. Because Liz Warren, Obama was terrible on a lot of financial issues, and certainly on banking regulation had to be pushed. But evidently, Obama held a very, very hard grudge against Elizabeth Warren on that issue. And the final thing they said, and I'm gonna chime off after this, Allen and Parnes named their chapter chronicling Clinton's defeat in the Michigan primary the canary in the auto plane. After all, Clinton's surprising loss to Bernie Sanders in that state ended up by being a harbinger of her poor performance in the Midwest during the general election. Campaign strategist and campaign manager and other campaign staff did not take their primary loss as an indication that they should concrete more on the so-called Rust Belt, but rather that they should de-emphasize operations there. What? And I hear
close the offices,
Kurt
yeah.
Allen and Parnes. What an idiot. One of the lessons they learned and his allies took from Michigan was that Hillary was better off not getting into an all-out war with her opponent in states where non-college educated whites could be decisive demographic.
Hmm.
Otherwise, fuck them.
The
campaign looked at the elevation of the Michigan primary as a mistake that shouldn't be repeated. So during the general election campaign, Hillary didn't even set foot in Wisconsin, another Rust Belt state. The campaign preferred targeting Clinton likely voters based on analytics rather than emphasizing a strong ground game in to persuade fence sitters. He said wouldn't provide basic, and this is incredible. They wouldn't provide basic resources to the Rust Belt states like campaign literature to staffers. Do you fucking believe that?
Yeah. No posters, no things on the lawn.
And they blame Bernie Sanders. They blame Bernie Sanders.
They're still blaming him. Yeah. You know what, Bill? You know what? I would love to have been a fly on the wall for that one-hour meeting he had with Barack Obama, where Obama must have said something that got him to back off. What do you think it was?
With Sanders?
Yeah, Barack Obama had a meeting with him. And then he wasn't running then. Something at that happened at that meeting. What did he say? I'm going to have you taken out. What?
Well, I think that I think that Bernie's always had. He's always said, even in the primaries, he said, I would nominate practically anybody but Donald Trump. I am not surprised that Bernie Sanders is still an independent. I'm not surprised he still pushes his issues, because here's the problem that these guys can't figure out. He actually believes what he says.
Yeah, fancy that.
He's not a whore.
Yeah.
Clinton's first reaction to people not liking her on the Rust Belt states was fuck them.
Yeah.
That was
it's
it.
It's my turn.
That
fuck
was
you.
It. She didn't need it. She was going to win anyway. What bothers me continually about the Clintons, even after they have lost, she lost not once, but twice. The Democrats have lost every branch of government. They have lost every branch of government. They've lost state houses. They've lost governorships. And they're still arrogant. It is amazing to me. Yeah. It defies logic.
We'll show you.
Not recently.
No, but they still believe that they've got the power.
They did. Well, I mean, show me.
Yeah.
Because they did a poll the other day, and Trump still would have gotten in, even though he is the least popular president ever after 100 days. Ever. Yeah,
42%.
And he still would have beaten Hillary Clinton.
And you know what? Bernie Sanders, day before yesterday, came out and said, you know what? I think I would have beaten Trump.
He would have destroyed him.
I know,
him.
But he's finally come out and said that himself. He hasn't said that.
No, he's believed that for a long time.
Well, yeah, but he's not said it publicly. I think I would have beaten this guy.
He would have. And, you know, listen, I'm for one on which we all have to unify. I have some friends. Good. I love these guys. They're friends of mine who are Hillary supporters. And I love them, and I respect them, and I would work with them on a campaign anytime, day or night. My beef is with the actual Clinton campaign, which is still dominating the DNC and is petulantly arrogant and cannot be dealt with. And they are detrimental to the future of the Democratic Party. They've got to let the progressive wing in. And that's my rant, I guess.
Well,
that's
it
what's
is.
Been
You've
happening,
gone on for
folks.
A bit of time.
How much
Goodbye,
time
folks.
Do we have?
Goodbye, folks. Goodbye.
Oh, bye, folks. Listen, I will. We'll be back in one
this
moment
is show
because we got Randy's rant coming.
By
up.
The way, show 177.
We're at show 177. We'll be back in 1 minute, guys. Here it is.
Educates, syncopates, radio communicates, radio, the sound of year-round pleasure.
Now, here comes the music.
I used to dream that I would discover the perfect lover for me. I knew I'd recognize him the moment he came on TV. I always used to fancy then he'd be one of those classy gentlemen, like an Alex Jones, though he just pretends. Or the brain trusts over at Fox and Friends. Then along came Bill, an ordinary guy, a patriotic, fine, upstanding citizen.
He doesn't have a right to be in his country.
His angry rants,
do it live.
His happy pants are not the kind that you would find on Chris Matthews. His career is dead. He's got a bigger head than Dr. Phil. I love him because he's wonderful.
F***ing thing sucks!
Because he's just my bitch.
How Black Lives Matter is killing Americans.
He may be moody, loud, and ungracious, a horny racist, old hack, and any woman he gives a job has to give him one back.
Entitlement!
Though sometimes he goes off the rails, he's as honorable as Roger Ailes. So I don't know why such hostility. If he's fine by him, that's enough for me.
So what does that mean, Bill? We've been listening all morning. We cannot.
I didn't hear a word she said. I was looking at the James Brown wig.
He's just my Bill, a really lovely guy, a calm, collected, virtuous philanthropist.
Come on, you coward!
His rugged looks, his children's books. He's kind of a goof, but boy, can he loofah. And I can't complain. He settled every claim with 13 mil. I love him because he's... No, not him. Because he's just...
Thing sucks.
I love you.
And now it's time to keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times, because it's time again for Randy's Rant.
Just all gather round. Yes, and now it's time again for Randy's Rant. Randy!
Yes, Willie.
Hi, I gotta say, I absolutely love Randy Rainbow this week.
Well,
I love the take on Bill O'Reilly.
He just,
fabulous.
He does so, and even some of his older ones, like, you know, when Trump and Pence announced their little team, you know, he did, you got trouble. Right here in River City, you know.
That's from Music Man.
Yeah, and that was June of last year, but I still love listening to it. The guy's tremendous, yes.
is an incredible talent. And check him out on YouTube, so my Randy Bill, Rainbow.
Yeah, my Bill from Showboat, loves his show tunes.
Very good.
Randy Rainbow loves his show tunes.
He sure does. Just like us. Just like we do.
We love our show tunes. Now,
you got a rant for us,
I
Randy.
Do, and
what is it?
We've actually discussed this off mic. I got to tell the listeners, because sometimes we do.
Yes.
We do talk and don't record it. And it's a good thing we're 1,000 miles away, because I don't think, I think we may have come to blows otherwise. Because
you're wrong.
Well, you're wrong. We disagree on this. And that's the fact that in September, young Mr. Obama, and he is still young, has agreed to do a speech for a Wall Street firm for $400,000. Now, you think that's wrong. Elizabeth Warren thinks that's wrong. A lot of people think that's wrong, and they're all up in arms. But you know what? We don't know that he's going to take the money or not give it to charity. Well, what he's going to say?
You don't think
it's about health?
It's
about health insurance policy, health policy. I think it's something he knows a lot about, and I would like to think that it's not going to just be. We didn't even know what Hillary said. They wouldn't even release the transcripts. But that woman and her husband, and I made $154 million in speakers' fees.
Why no one trusted her
or her husband. I mean,
on financial policy, that's why no one trusts
them. Former presidents, they tend to cash in. I don't know that he's doing that. $400,000 is not a lot of money. Bill Clinton came out here and spoke, and he got much more than $400,000. But anyway, I have a chap named H.A. Goodman, a blogger and a journalist from Washington, who has a take on this and who talks about Elizabeth Warren and the fact that she is troubled. This is the quote. She is troubled about the $400,000. Let's listen to Mr. Goodman.
Okay. This is H.A. Goodman on whether or not Obama should be cashing in after he's president. Right here on Randy's Rant.
Elizabeth Warren is somebody I used to love, and we broke up because she started seeing Hillary Clinton. She cheated on me with Hillary Clinton. And Elizabeth Warren used to be a champion, a progressive icon, somebody who really, in many ways, laid the foundation or the groundwork for Bernie Sanders. The Bernie's political revolution, in many ways, was started or initially ignited by Elizabeth Warren, especially in 2014 when she went up against President Obama, saying that Citigroup wrote part of an omnibus bill. Well, fast forward to 2016, she refuses to endorse Bernie Sanders, and then she endorses Hillary Clinton, the epitome of everything that she stood against and fought against. Wall Street greed, war, mainly just Wall Street greed. But I'll read you. Elizabeth Warren troubled by Obama's $400,000 payday. Senator Elizabeth Warren said she is troubled by former President Barack Obama's decision to accept $400,000 paycheck for a speech he will deliver to a Wall Street Connected event in September. The progressive Democrat from Massachusetts made the comment Thursday during an interview promoting her new book on SiriusXM's Alter Family Politics. Quote, I was troubled by that, she said, about the report this week that Obama will be paid $400,000 to speak at Cantor Fitzgerald's healthcare conference. Quote, one of the things I talk about in the book is the influence of money. I describe it as a snake that slithers through Washington and that it shows up in so many different ways here in Washington. Then why the did you endorse Hillary Clinton and not endorse Bernie Sanders? Democrats lost. And you lost your appeal to so many millions of people. Why didn't you stand for something? Why didn't you go up against the machine? Instead, you became part of the machine, Senator Warren. And you're probably going to sell your book, a lot of copies of your book. But when America needed you, when history, really, when history needed you to stand by Bernie, you didn't. You didn't even endorse him. And you endorsed Hillary Clinton, who took in $153 million from Wall Street speaking fees with her husband, Bill. And you're worried about $400,000?
Well.
Yeah.
There's a man with something to say.
Yeah. he broke up with her because she started seeing somebody else.
Oh, you know, aren't you just a little bit sick of... There's this whole thing. Democrats fall in love. Republicans fall into line. At the time in which Liz Warren endorsed Hillary Clinton, she was torn, I think, because everybody thought Hillary would win. Even Bernie Sanders thought Hillary would win, you know? Yeah. I don't like the fact that she didn't endorse Bernie because I'm a Bernie guy, but I can understand why she did it, you know?
And do you think if she'd been asked to be vice president, she would have done it?
Oh, yeah, sure. In a minute. I think she wanted it bad.
Liz Warren.
Yeah, absolutely. She wanted it bad. Okay. But I think that, you know, I mean, the truth is that Clinton is, she wants a rubber stamp. She doesn't want anybody to outshine her. Nope. I think this whole, look, we got this litmus test going now with Bernie and women's rights. The truth is, everybody has to unify to get this goddamn idiot out of power. And, you know, you can fall in love with Liz Warren all you want. First of all, Bernie Sanders was a progressive long before Liz Warren. Okay, Liz Warren did not create...
30 years. She was only in the last four years.
Liz Warren did not create Bernie's movement. Bernie created Bernie's movement, okay? Yeah. Let's get that straight. Second of all, I think holding Liz Warren... it against Liz Warren because she endorsed Hillary is counterproductive and stupid.
It is now.
Of course it is. This guy's talking now, and now it's stupid. It's just stupid.
Okay, let's have something even more now.
Okay.
Let's listen to my friend, Trevor Noah.
Yeah.
Who has offered this lovely little take on Barack Obama's $400,000 payday.
Okay.
And I really think... he hits the nail on the absolute head. Trevor Noah.
Trevor Noah, The Daily Show. Here it is.
Obama's back, and so are the haters.
Former President Barack Obama is getting a little heat tonight. The former president has agreed to give a lucrative speech to Wall Street firm Cantor Fitzgerald. Mr. Obama will be paid about $400,000, but many people are calling the former president's move hypocritical because in the past he's been very critical of Wall Street and the financial industry.
Paperboy, paperboy, all about that paperboy, all about that paperboy.
Obama's getting $400,000 to be a keynote speaker. He's probably going to give a very important policy speech entitled, The Four Boats I'm Gonna Buy. Now, look, I know people may say that it weakens public trust when politicians cash in immediately after leaving office, but at least Obama waited until he left office. Unlike this guy, who's using the White House like an ATM machine. And yeah, don't get me wrong, I agree that the system must change. But it doesn't change with Obama, all right? People are like, oh, why doesn't he not accept the money? No, fuck that. That. No, I'm sorry. So the first black president must also be the first one to not take money afterwards? No, my friend. He can't be the first of everything. F*** that and f*** you. Yeah, I said it. No. Make that money, Obama, make that money. But Obama should know better. Oh, what about the Clintons? Yeah, well, I mean, the Clintons, it's already done. Well, then let him already done it as well. And then you guys can start that shit with the first white president to not take the money. F*** you, Obama, make that money.
Yeah, he's got a point.
Yeah,
he's got a point there. I can't argue with that.
He's not going to be the first black guy to not take the money. Yeah. You take the money.
That is a good point.
He's going to give a speech called, What Four Boats Am I Going to Buy?
Am I going to buy?
Now, look, I think if it's about health care, you know, it's going to be a good speech. You know, it'll probably be in defense of Obamacare. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. You can't give it for free, because anything that's free is worth nothing. That's the one of the big adages of Madison Avenue, let alone Wall Street.
Yeah.
Sorry, but I think...
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Courage, Camille. But I think he should... let's wait till September, see what happens.
Okay.
People want to prejudge him. I don't think they should. Now, as you know, I always follow my rant with a religious nut job of the week. This is totally nuts. Somebody's done the numer...
And I got to say something. Yeah. Can I say something, Randy? I'm going to put my hand up.
Because I can't see We don't have cameras
here. Yeah, but imagine I'm in class raising my hand.
Yes, Bill.
During your segment.
Yes, Bill. I'm passing you the conch shell on the Lord of the Flies. I'm giving you the conch, Pigsy.
That's
Pigsy,
right.
Yeah, go on.
I'm Piggy.
Yeah.
Okay, so all I'm saying is that the Bill went on too long, so we're going to go out on the religious nut job of the week to keep it under an hour this week.
Okay.
I'll
tell the listeners, another thing is I have a special ending that I've made just for Bill.
Ooh,
and he doesn't know what it is. Ooh. Okay. Now, my religious nut job of the week. Somebody's gone out and done the numerology on the fact that 45 is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, I'll tell you now, this is satire. I'm not that easily sucked in, but it is funny. Yeah. It is funny. It is funny. It is funny. So have a listen to this little piece that proves that Donald Trump is the second coming of Jesus Christ.
This is Donald Trump is the second coming of Jesus Christ. I've always said it. When I come back, it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah,
it's going
to be brilliant. I got all the best ideas,
All the best ideas. We have an ATM in Jerusalem. It's fantastic. Yeah. Okay, here it is. Donald Trump is the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Hello, fools. Today, Donald Trump is ascending to heaven, so I figured it would be a good time to reveal the truth, so here we go. Jesus. The cross. The cross has 12 sides. Vatican City has one pope. 12 plus 1 equals 13. 13 Reasons Why is a Netflix series. Netflix is a streaming service. YouTube is also a streaming service. PewDiePie is the biggest channel on YouTube. PewDiePie is a child rapist. Child rapists are scary. Hitler is also scary. Hitler is German. Germany is in Europe. Sweden is in Europe. Robtop lives in Sweden. Robtop made Geometry Dash. Geometry Dash is on Steam. The Binding of Isaac is also on Steam. The Lamb is a boss in The Binding of Isaac. Oh my god. I just realized something. You can eat lamb, you can also eat potatoes. Potatoes come from Ireland in 1845. There was a potato famine in Ireland that caused Irish to come to the United States. And you know who is in charge of the United States? That's right. Vladimir Putin. Putin lives in Russia. Russia has nukes. The United States has nukes. Texas is a state in the United States. Stone Cold Steve Austin is the Texas Rattlesnake. Steve Austin is a wrestler for World Wrestling Entertainment. And you know who appeared on World Wrestling Entertainment? Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the second coming of Jesus confirmed.
Now, and who can argue with that?
Who can argue with that? We were both going to say that. Who can argue with numbers? Yeah, I got the best numbers.
Yeah, I got the best numbers. The best numbers. Oh,
that was
my God.
So ridiculous. I just couldn't resist.
Well, listen.
Oh, Bill, it's been a wonderful show. Look at the time.
I know. I'm sitting here looking at, by the way, Tangalooma Resort here at Morton Island. That's where I'm broadcasting from.
Are you on
today.
The seaside or the land side?
I'm literally in my little. There's a little.
No. It's Tangalooma on the
seaside.
On the seaside. So you're looking out into the Pacific.
I'm looking out at the Pacific right now, and it's been fantastic. So if you ever come to Australia,
you seen whales.
It's whales. We've seen dolphins. We've seen all sorts of things.
They used to do whaling on Tangalooma.
Yeah, I know. Well, we've gone up and we saw the whaling station up there. We've toured the island. It's a little sand island. It's about 10 kilometers across, and literally, it's a good place to wait out the end of the world. So I thought, what the hell?
Yeah, but you're going to come back before you... It's all going to... Shit's going to hit the fan when you come home.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Yeah. Well, listen, guys...
And I kept Bernie. Bernie's happy.
Bernie your Sanders, the dog, happy. Is happy. Randy's happy. Got a cold, but Randy's looking after my place down in Victoria while I'm taking my wife on vacation.
Yeah, I'm actually looking out at the... I haven't been into the... the fabulous Bill Show Studios. I'm actually just at the dinner table.
The trailer up back, where I keep my tinfoil hat. Listen.
I've got a special ending for you.
You do. But before that, let me just put this in. I'd like to thank everybody who sent us stuff. Please continue to do so. I'm going to have a list of all of our sponsors next time we get together, because I'm literally doing this on a laptop on a kitchen table at the resort now. So if you want to reach us, thebillshow.net, everything Bill Show in one place. If you want to sponsor us, folks, please do. You can hit the sponsor button on thebillshow.net, or you can go to expatprogressive.podbean.com to sponsor our show for whatever you can afford. Doesn't matter, whatever
will be appreciated. Or the Facebook page. There's a lot of naughty stuff on the Facebook page, too.
There's a lot of stuff on the Facebook page. Randy's been doing it, so, that's about it. You can reach us on iTunes, on Podbay FM, whatever. And
Stitcher.
And Stitcher Radio, the place to go if you want a show, Stitcher Radio. So that's it. Now, what is this ending that you have?
Now, I've got a special ending for Bill. Mm. I've just put this together. It's nothing. Oh, not that. Don't get your hopes up.
Okay.
It's just a little something extra.
Okay. So here's the ending that I get to listen to with you.
To say thank you. And you've never heard, you haven't heard this yet.
No, I haven't. Okay.
Bye, everybody.
With Randy's special ending, here it is. So long, everybody. Bye.
See you guys.
Bye.
Target distance 7 miles. Correct track indicator -7.
Roger, 7 miles. Back GPI and acceleration factor.
GPI exertion factor set.
Target distance 6 miles.
Roger, 6 miles. Pulse ident transponder active.
Pulse ident transponder active.
Target distance, 5 miles.
5 miles. Homing alignment factor, zero mode.
Homing alignment factor to zero mode.
Target distance, 4 miles.
Roger, 4 miles. Auto CDC and manual teleflex link.
Auto CDC and manual teleflex link.
Target distance, 3 miles.
Roger, 3 miles. Target in sight. Where in hell is Major Kong?
What about Major Kong?